And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, 105 in the afternoon. Want to thank everybody for joining us on this Tuesday, August 27th. August is almost over. Fall's right around the corner. And Labor Day coming up here shortly. Labor Day weekend, and the weather looks
almost there.
Weather looks pretty decent. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with meteorologist extraordinaire Justin Storm, and our wonderful, talented Ag Director Bridget Riedel will be joining us shortly. She's remote down in Boone, Iowa, I believe it is, for another big Ag event down there. So as soon as Bridget can connect, she'll be joining us shortly. So temperature's not too bad out there today. Currently, we're in the 60s to near 70 here in the FM area, but far cooler in the Northern Valley in northwest Minnesota, where there's some showers on radar, even a few showers still hanging on out around the Jamestown area. Those are all moving northeastward. So a few shower. I can't rule out an isolated shower, thunder shower here in the FM area, but most of that going to stay to our west and north before improving conditions for tomorrow, albeit a little bit on the breezy side. I think we've got Bridget now. Bridget! Okay, she's almost ready. And Justin's audio just went down, it looks like, too.
Oh, sorry, I had my button clicked. She's lost in Boom.
Is that okay?
Hey, did you see how much rain fell in, what was that, just south of Grand Rapids? No, it wasn't. Fergus Falls yesterday.
Yeah.
Fergus, just south of Fergus. Man, I saw some pictures of some of the parks down there that were just submerged in water.
Yep.
Not quite as bad as Bismarck, but man, that was a heck of a lot of water. And I think it was, what, 3.5 inches of rain in like 30 minutes or so?
So the rainfall rate was, that's over 6 inches an hour. Yeah, so yikes. Luckily, it kind of moved out. As about as quickly as it developed. So, Bridget,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Parker's Prairie got a bunch of hail as well. They had 1.5-inch hail that fell over there.
I saw that. I didn't see any damage reports, but imagine 1.5-inch hail. That's got to do some kind of damage, at least a little
bit. Yeah, that's going to crack a windshield.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you're driving, at least. You might get lucky it just bounces off, but I don't know. If you got a golf ball coming at you,
it's not a good thing, unless you're on the golf course.
Well, if it's coming at you, it's still not a good thing. I ever tell you the story of the time I almost hit someone teeing off?
No.
I don't know. I was teeing off. Yeah, the ball just went like 90 degrees right. Like it didn't go forward. Oh. It just went like the way I was facing.
We were, I've only been with somebody that's gotten hit once, and it was one of my buddy, and we were golfing, and guy didn't even yell four, so we didn't see it coming, and my buddy was teeing off, and it hit him square in the jugular. He went down like a sack of potatoes, and then he started bleeding, so we had to cut our round short and got rushed. We had to rush him over to the ER. Luckily, he was okay, but
yeah, you kind of get hit in that area.
No.
Force, and it's, usually it doesn't work out very
not
well.
Not a good idea,
run.
Yeah. And we weren't too happy that four wasn't yelled. Not sure it would have helped, but at least you're going to, when you hear it, you're going to duck.
See, I had one guy who got all mad at me because I had hit a ball and it shanked over, and he was walking in the near the wood line of the other course that kind of butted up against it. And I yelled four. The ball landed right next to him and hit a tree maybe 10 feet to his left. He comes running over to us, shaking his fist, screaming, yelling, and saying we weren't yelling for him. Like, sorry, you didn't hear it. I mean, it's not like you weren't that far away, but he was not happy.
Oh, man. Well, welcome, Bridget.
That's golf.
How is it down there? Not as hot as yesterday.
Not as hot as yesterday. Currently, it's just loud. There's a lot of background noise. I am in the media tent right now, but there's a lot of action down here at Farm Progress. I mean, they're expecting 40,000 to 50,000 people to come through this facility today. We're talking 600 acres worth of items to see. So there's a lot happening
600?
For those who are wondering. 600 acres.
Wow. So that's a big show.
Yeah, I got to the places I needed to see. I didn't go to the places that are like just the fun ones yet because I haven't had time to do that quite yet.
So they just give everybody a golf cart to get around?
There are, you can rent carts here. You can bring your own if you have a golf cart pass. So there's a lot of golf carts. I would tell you ankles beware as much as possible.
Okay, so for reference, Bridget, 600 acres, how comparable is that to Big Iron? How many acres is the West Fargo Fairgrounds?
So I would have to actually go check their website, but I do believe certainly smaller than this. This is touted as the largest outdoor farm show. And you're looking at an entire section of land, essentially, here. There's a lot going on. These are permanent fixture buildings that folks are going in and out of. You know, so if you're an exhibitor here, you might have put up your own building versus just going ahead and using space like in a building, in a booth. It's pretty wild. Wow. There's tractor demonstrations all the way around us. Heavy amounts of parking, there's no doubt. And, of course, there one of the fun things I always think is when you pull into the parking lot and you're greeted by somebody on a horse that's directing traffic because local horse clubs come in and operate the parking lots to make sure people get parked in the right places.
Cool. Wow. So, well, ain't that something? You're going to get lots of video, though, right? And you're going to share it with us?
You know, if Addison has it, I already sent him one picture in particular that I thought Dean would really appreciate. So maybe he can put that in the live stream for us. Maybe you want to be just tickled when you see it. Hopefully Addison is able to bring that up.
Oh, boy. And so Big Iron is a little over 200 acres. So three times the size is Big Iron.
Some of the buildings are air-conditioned. So, for instance, if you walk into a particular exhibitor's hall, the whole building might be exhibited. And that's a lot of the background noise is the air conditioners trying to run right now. It's not quite as bad as it was yesterday, but it's still pretty hot when the sun's not behind a cloud.
How hot is it down there today, Bridget?
I don't want to look. I just compare it to the surface of the sun, if that's accurate.
That could be. That's what I was thinking when we were down there in Baltic for a PhD field day a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
That was not fun.
Very similar. No, that was not pleasant, but a very similar situation.
Oh, wow. Let me make sure you stay cool and drink some water down there.
I don't think Addison got that picture up yet that I had sent him in Slack. It's one that Dean will appreciate more than anybody.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
There we are.
Oh, Dean. You know who that is?
Yeah, it's QDM.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
That's
down
your best
there.
Bud.
Man,
your
get him to get him to come up to Big Iron, would you, Bridget?
So he is here with the Mondego equipment and spent some time visiting with him. It's been a good day to visit with a lot of folks like that. Yeah.
Hey, if you could get an autograph hat for me, Bridget, I'd much appreciate that. I don't know if he's giving them out.
Whose autograph? His or mine?
Well, both on the same hat, duh.
I'll see what I can do. He just drove down yesterday, so we had great travel stories to compare. Excellent.
Awesome. Good deal. Good deal. Yeah, and we had QDM on. If you've never seen his YouTube channel, you've got to check it out. He's from Saskatoon up in Canada, and he had a nice little bit on his last YouTube video about the Canadian rail strike that they're trying to avoid up there. So that was an interesting little YouTube bit as well.
And so his official name is Quick Dick McDick. He is a farmer rancher out of, as he calls it, East Central Saskatchewan. And so he's great fun to visit with. And he rants on what's going on politically as well as what can be happening when it comes to governmentally in both countries. He doesn't have a problem sharing his opinion. It's pretty neat.
He usually gives a good take on it. I'll give him that.
He really does. Yeah. So, right. Other good takes that are going on right now, I would keep in mind that as farmers are getting close to harvest, remember that we need to consider what's going on. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it quiet, keep down some of the background noise here. It would be a good idea for farmers to think about having some soil sampling done for soybeans, cyst, nematode. Right now, those nematodes have been on the increase across the state. You're not going to notice a soybean cyst nematode doing damage until you get to harvest and realize you may have lost up to 30% of your yield. There are free soil sampling kits available from the North Dakota Soybean Council, so it would be a great idea to reach out to them to get those kits. They go back into the NDSU Soil Pathology Lab, and at the PATH lab, they're going to be able to tell you if you have cyst nematode. You normally don't see signs just out in the open, so to speak, but they do exist.
Now, Bridget, it's been hot, I mean, dangerously hot, and down in Iowa, southern Minnesota, now that's shifted over into the Great Lakes where they have excessive heat warnings in effect. And I'll tell you what, I mean, we knew about corn sweat years ago. There was a small little town, Shenandoah, Iowa, southwestern corner of Iowa, right next, kind of not far from Omaha. And we always used to talk about corn sweat back in the day and how their dew points were always higher than the surrounding areas. But it, with social media now, it has really caught on. And I don't know if you caught how many social media posts were on all over yesterday throughout the Midwest about corn sweat. And they're trying to explain how corn sweat is. So we're going to throw you a little trivia.
Global warming.
Yeah.
And now the corn is sweating because it's so hot. Climate change.
It was hard to keep up with the corn sweat when all the sweat was running in your eyes, I'll say that much.
Right. So how many gallons, on an acre of land, acre of corn, about how many gallons of corn sweat are produced per day on 1 acre? How many gallons of water?
On an acre?
Yeah.
I'm going to bet it can produce probably 40 gallons of water, which is similar to how much a cow creates in saliva.
How many gallons per day out of that whole 1 acre of land? You're going to
go one plant.
No, not one plant.
Gallons.
1 acre. So 1 acre.
I know, but I'm saying on an acre, one plant. Each plant produces enough corn sweat, but I'm only going to go with 40 gallons.
Okay, Justin, what's your guess?
I'm going to go with twice as much as an equivalent size lake. So there's my answer. Twice as much as the surface area of an equivalent lake. So, yeah.
How many gallons?
Twice as much as one lake would give off.
Well, that doesn't give an answer. It's four.
Well, politician now, by the way.
Four, yeah, I can tell. 4,000 gallons it releases on an acre of corn. So quite a bit, obviously.
Well, think about that going back up into the atmosphere, and you wonder why rain begets rain. That would probably be part of it, wouldn't it, guys?
You know how much the average, like, cloud or thunder? I think it was. Is it a cloud or a thunderstorm? I think it's your average cloud. How much does your average cloud weigh?
More than you expect?
Quite a bit.
Hmm. A lot, a bit more than you would think. I believe it's 1 billion pounds, is it not? Dean?
Oh, is he asking me? He didn't say.
Well, I said it. I'm pretty sure it's 1 billion pounds. Am I on that?
It is, no, a million. You're close.
A million pounds? Yeah, 1.1 million pounds.
Yeah. A billion seemed a bit high, although maybe it's a
I don't know.
Maybe it's a
your
big
typical
cloud.
Fair weather cumulus cloud weighs about 1 billion to 400 million pounds.
Who's weighing that?
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a good question. How do you think that they estimate that, Dean? How do you think that gets weighed or calculated?
From a big scale.
A big scale or a big math equation?
Yeah. Probably both.
So you take
likely the only
the volume,
way to do it is the big math equation.
Yeah. here's your big math equation. You take the volume of the cloud and you do some stuff to the amount of moisture that the air at that temperature can hold, and you equivalate that down to gallons per cubic meter, and then you are able to divide that by 8 pounds per gallon, and that will give you how many pounds per volume of cloud you have. How's that for a big equation?
Well,
you guys aren't impressed, are you?
Nah, not so much.
Am I on the delay now? What's going on here?
I'm sort of impressed, but I feel like I'm going to be more impressed when our guest, who's Greg Seaman with Starian Bank, joins us. Greg is our Farm Finance Insider, and I think when we talk about banking and big equations, he's probably the right guy to do it. How's that grab you?
Sounds good. Well, we'll have our guest on here right after we come back here. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you. Got a little different spot here at the Farm Progress Show media tent. Hopefully it gets a little bit quieter for some of the background noise because, man, between the air conditioning and everything else, it's a lot going on. And thank you for those who are part of our Here We Grow project north of Glendon, Minnesota. We're excited about our corn crop, and it's trucking right along. At this point, thank you to Steffes Group for all the work that they have done to be a part of our project, as well as Dakota Bank. Again, I always feel like they go hand in hand. If you're going to the auction, make sure that you have your banking lined up before you get there. And we have a giveaway for NDSU gear from PetroServe. We're probably going to need to do that sometime this hour, don't we, guys?
Sure, yes, yeah, we do. Of course we will.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that today, but that will be after we have the opportunity to talk with our guest today, and that is Greg Seaman. Greg is with Starion Bank, and this is the Farm Finance Insider segment, and Greg is calling in today just like I am. Hopefully things are well for you over there, Greg.
Things are great. It's great to be with you guys, and I think they originally forecasted 99 degrees out here in D.C. today, but it's only 91, so I suppose that's that's tolerable.
They were wrong.
But it's a little heavy out here, yeah.
They've made it so much better for you. That's good. Greg, I'm at Farm Progress, and just hearing folks talk about what their crop looks like and so forth, there are those who are worried about it running in the red. Any mm-hmm. thoughts or advice as a banker, if you have one of your lendees come in and say, I'm a little concerned, where do you start that conversation with them? Because I don't know if you push the panic button right off the bat, right?
No, I don't think you do, because let's be honest, it's a reality in the agricultural industry. There are going to be years where it's a net loss. And the best thing you can do is try to start mitigating risk with that customer. And sometimes those conversations are necessary. You just have to discuss the fact that, okay, this is one of those years. It might be 1 year out of 10, but we've got to look at minimizing that loss as opposed to lamenting it. And so that just comes down to, sitting down and having the difficult discussions, understanding that, when we're looking at our marketing, it's not adding up the way we need it to. Hope isn't a great strategy. You can sit there and hope the price goes up, but you have to have the realistic discussion with your marketing person and say, all right, here's our best case scenario. And if there are some losses on the year, then we're going to say, what's our plan for terming those losses out and then still getting back to a positive cash flow the following year. So no, those are real situations. And when you look at the market prices, another thing that we've addressed numerous times, Bridget, in other conversations is interest expense is a real thing the last few years. And you have to decide how long is it worth sitting on the crop to hope that the price goes up, because the longer you sit on it, you don't pay that operating line back, that interest expense continues to add up. Or storage costs. If you've already delivered it and you haven't pulled the trigger, there's some additional costs that are involved in waiting. So you kind of have to pencil those things out, weigh them, and have those discussions and understand that sometimes this is a reality of farming, and we'll figure out a way to take a positive step in the right direction the following year.
And Greg, we've seen interest rates come down. Sorry, Bridget. Greg, we've seen interest rates come down just a tick here over the just recently. How much more would you estimate that we need to see these interest rates come down to help out our ag community?
Well, it's a fair question. And what I've realized is however they do move the interest rates, it's going to be extremely incremental. We're not going to see big swings right now, because they're still in their mind, the Fed is still kind of measuring their impact on the economy and on the inflation situation. So they're not going to do anything with a big swing. I would anticipate if there is something, it might be 25 basis points. And I don't think you'll see a ton of banks reacting quickly in changing their rates. It's going to be a slower process. So I think it's going to be minimal and incrementally, to answer your question, Dean. I don't think it's going to be a really significant impact. I just can't see that happening in this current economy.
Okay.
As you talk about what's going on right now, if you think you're running in the red, you're scared about your interest expense, I would venture a guess it's better to start coming in sooner rather than later to have this discussion with your banker if you're that farmer out there that's a little concerned how things look right now. Any idea
Absolutely.
There, Greg?
No, that's a great observation. I think it's the right thing to do. Don't put the conversation off. Don't push it on, because that's the other thing is procrastination isn't a great marketing strategy either, nor a great banking strategy. So it's okay to address these things head on. What I will tell you is bankers, you know, lenders appreciate proactive discussions with their customers. It's okay. Come in and say, hey, listen, I'm concerned. Here's what I'm, you know, here's what I'm coming up with. And sometimes getting a different set of eyes on your projections is helpful. And I think it's just having that discussion, having that talk about the reality of the situation. And who knows, you know, you may be penciling in 165 bushel corn, you know, and you maybe you're being conservative, and all of a sudden when it's done, it may have ended up at 172, you know, bushels per acre. Well, that extra 7 bushels makes a big difference. We understand that. But I think being proactive and getting out in front of it and acknowledging that, this risk is real. How do we minimize it? And how do we mitigate it if possible? So I think those are, it's the right way to handle it, Bridget. You know, the earlier you discuss it, the more options you have to deal with it.
Well, nobody likes surprises, whether it's your boss or your banker. You probably want to make sure you have those discussions pretty early on.
Completely agree.
Greg, I've got one more. Equipment leases. Do you see those being more of an upward trend when we see the situation we are in right now for farm costs, or do we see those going down? Are people more likely to want to lease equipment versus buy is basically what I'm wondering.
I wish I knew, you know, I wish I could give you that the answer, because if I could predict that, people might value my opinion. I see the upside of the leasing situation to be that you're going to keep stuff that's typically under warranty. You're not worrying about depreciating something fast. Those lease payments are typically, they're not taxable. Put it that, you know what I mean? Or they're deductible. Lease payments are, and you keep yourself in some pretty decent equipment, but it's an ongoing expense. The one thing about purchasing, Bridget, and you know this better than anybody, you can get to a point after 4 or 5 years where you don't have that machinery payment, and hopefully you're dealing with a newer piece of machinery that has a lifetime of 10 to 12 years where you're going to have that benefit of not having that payment. So, the thing about the lease is it's a predictable, budgetable payment, and you know it's going to be there every year, and you keep yourself in some pretty high-quality machinery. But at the same time, the purchase option, because of the length of life of the equipment these days, it pays some dividends, but it's later on. You know, after you've owned that piece of equipment for a while where you don't necessarily have that payment. I think it comes down to what's your comfort level. And the other thing about leasing is you kind of keep your repair expense under control or more predictable, and just because it's under warranty. So I think those things, it's a good question, but I think maybe rather than giving that answer, it's those are the discussions you have to have. And those are the answers you have to come up with as far as what fits my budget, my annual budget better. Is it a constant lease payment, or is it something where you say, listen, let's get to a point where we can save some money on machinery expense and hope that the repair expense doesn't add up too quickly on that piece of machinery as it gets a little bit older?
And Greg, this year hasn't been the most favorable for some when it comes to farming with their crops, whether it was not getting into the field, prevented plant, or just too much rain or hail damage, just kind of, you know, screwed things over for a lot of things. And there's a lot of bare ground that didn't get planted this year. As a banker, what do you tell your customers? What advice or how would you recommend having that conversation with your bank for those that really not getting much or anything out of this year?
Well, that's the risk of farming, right? You know, people say it's the farmers are the gutsiest gamblers we have, right? Because their livelihood is at the mercy of so many uncontrollables. I just think goes back to the discussion that Bridget and I were having earlier about having the discussions with your lender and looking at the reality of the situation and saying, hey, granted, you know, my overall trajectory is in the right direction, But even the best operations are going to have years where they have to take a little bit of a step back. That's just the reality of the agricultural industry. And you have to prepare them. And it's not so much that you don't want to be caught off guard by those things, but you want to be prepared to handle it and say, well, hey, listen, this has always been a realistic possibility. Now I'm dealing with it head on. The one thing about the preventive plant, you get the payment for it. Hopefully you didn't have the input costs. You know, you saved on the front end, so you didn't have to get so much back on the back end that you're still maybe able to stay in the black or not too far in the red. And you can handle some minor losses as opposed to some major ones because you weren't prepared for it. I think it's, like you said, really a volatile year when you look at not even being able to get in or just kind of the rain, the drowned out, the hail situations. They're all spotty, but they're a reality. I just think the willingness to sit down, have the conversation with your lender, you know, that advisory team that we've talked about, whether it's our tax accountant, whoever it is, have that discussion and face the reality of, hey, this might be a year where we end up a little bit short, but it's the exception. And because I plan, because I'm willing to have these conversations, because we want to prepare and mitigate risk as best we possibly can, that's why those things are much more the exception than the rule. So have the conversations and be realistic about what the situation is.
I don't think you could give it any better when you say, you know, be realistic about the conversations right now, because that's absolutely going to matter tremendously. So, Craig, thank you so very much for joining us. I know you're traveling, so am I, and just thanks for taking the time to answer questions we get from listeners all regarding ag finance. Very much appreciated.
Always enjoy it. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Thanks to Starian Bank, and we much appreciate the time. We will be back right after this.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us 1:38 on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll have a rundown on that forecast coming up in a bit. If you want to be a part of the conversation today, feel free to call us anytime, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line. Or you can reach us via email as well. That's weather or ag at flagfamily.com. Just got done speaking with our Farm Finance Insider segment with Greg Steeman from Starian Bank. And if you missed any of that conversation, you can go back on our page and you can rewatch that portion of the interview. But we got some fun things coming up for the back half of our show. We still got a couple ag topics to run down to check on the forecast. We got to give away some NDSU bison apparel. And we also need to do dumb off trivia on this Tuesday afternoon. What do we want to start off with first, guys? All sorts of fun things to do. Should we do the trivia first?
You want to play? You want to do the trivia, and then you want to do the see who can answer the trivia from our listeners to win the NDSU gear. That's some pretty.
Yeah. So
you want to do that?
Sure.
All right.
It is time to determine who has the biggest smart in the Dumb Off. Here are the rules. Dean, Justin, Bridget, and Addison will play on the listener's behalf. They will go through two or three rounds of the most grueling trivia questions on the planet. Whoever has the most points at the end will be awarded the big smart. The contestant they're playing for will win a prize, and all contestants will be entered into a drawing for the grand prize.
Oh, this ought to be good. This will either be the greatest or dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, this should be a good, fun time. If you haven't signed up to do trivia, you can do so. You can head over to our website, wdayradionow.com. All the way at the bottom, you can click on Weather and Ag and Focus Trivia. Get yourself entered there. We'll try and win you a prize, and everyone who signs up is entered into a chance to win the grand prize. And today, Bridget, you're playing for Doug L. Dean, you're playing for Mike G. I'm playing for Peterman S. So good luck to Doug, Mike, and Peterman out there. We'll see if we can win you something fun. First person to shout their name out gets to answer the question. If nobody answers the question, we'll move on to another one. Addison, what do you got for us today?
I've done my best studying over the last 15 minutes to pick out random questions that do not correlate with each other. So our first question, starting off with a banger, a horrible one. Which kind of large fly is the fastest insect on Earth and has been timed at speeds of up to 90 miles an hour, which is horrifying if you ask me.
Bridget called in first, sir.
I think it's a black fly.
Justin, I'm going to go with a flea.
Dean, I'm going to go with a horsefly.
Dean got it. It's horsefly.
Whoa!
Ah, because horses are so fast. Good one, Dean.
Giddy up.
That's horrifying to me. No insect needs to go that fast.
90 miles
an hour? No wonder
you
can't outrun it.
Man.
Yeah, 90 miles an hour. That's what the card said. I had to double check, make sure I didn't misread that. So, all right, moving on. Our next question. Which two U.S. capital cities have rhyming names?
This is a tough one.
Capital city, too.
Go back to eighth grade. Think about your capitals, kids.
Oh, man.
We might time out here.
I don't think... None of,
I don't know. What is it, Addison?
It's the cities Austin and Boston.
Oh, come on,
the cities of Texas and Massachusetts.
Wow.
Austin, Boston.
Never have looked for that relationship.
No.
Ever, so that's
good.
Okay.
All right. Question number three. From which sport did the rallying cry "Tally Ho" originate from?
Bridget.
Justin.
Bridget's first.
Bridget first.
Polo.
No.
Cricket.
Really?
No.
Dean,
I'll
try soccer.
No.
Oh.
So, what do we got?
Fox hunting, which I'm going to be honest, I did not know was a sport.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think of that as a sport.
Lame.
Okay.
Okay, 1-0. Come on, guys.
Yeah, Dean, you got one.
Come on. That can't win it.
It's hot over here. I can't hardly keep it together.
Nobody wants to shout tally-ho anymore.
Mm-mm. No, apparently not. Fox hunting is now frowned upon.
Ignoring that. All right.
All right, next round.
On Twitter, or X, a tweet is limited to how many characters?
Justin.
Bridget.
Justin first.
Justin got it.
240.
No. Not according to my 2016 Hasbro Trivia Pursuit. Trivia
2016.
Yeah, I don't know if Elon Musk has changed anything. Bridget, what's your answer?
Well, if it was 2016, but wasn't it still just 140 characters at the time?
That is what my trivia card says.
Wow.
But I think Justin might be right now, though. I think it has been raised.
I think it's 280 right now. But that depends if you have the little blue check mark.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't have a blue check mark. I'm not rich enough to have one of them.
Yeah, same.
Oh. All right, so 1-1-0.
All right. Yep. Which farm animal is sometimes rented for weed control?
Justin.
Oh. Bridget.
Justin first.
Screaming goat.
Hold, please.
Hold.
There we go. There it is. Not screaming specifically. It is just goat.
Just a goat, yeah.
Woohoo,
goat.
Let's go.
We'll give him that. I'll tie it up.
I'll tie it up.
All right. Here's another animal-related one. Crocodiles and alligators both live in the Florida Everglades. True or false?
Justin.
Dean. I'll give it to Justin.
Yeah.
Well, I got a 50-50 shot here on true and false, but I'm going to go with false. Crocodiles do not live in Florida.
Wrong.
Dean, true.
Yeah, trivia card says true. It's the only place in the world where these species overlap. There we go. There's our lesson for Florida today.
They can get fresh water and salt water, right? Because that makes a difference for
right.
them.
Another reason to stay away from the Florida Everglades, apparently.
Yeah.
And Florida, man.
And just Florida, really.
Yeah, just Florida.
What does the acronym GPS stand for?
Dean.
Justin.
Dean.
Global Positioning System.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking something completely different.
What were you thinking?
Well, I'll put it here in the chat.
You know it's bad when he can't.
But yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can read that.
That's pretty good.
I like it, yeah. Yeah, I can't say that one there.
You can. I've got a big red button in case people say that.
Right.
Well, yeah, we could definitely say it and just cut it out.
No one would.
Garlic, pepper, and salt.
Yeah.
GPS.
Delicious answers. All right.
Seasoning.
Last question, or it's 3-1-1.
I guess that'd be the end of round two. Yeah. I don't think it matters, but let's go for it. What's the next question?
All right. Which commonly available drink is defined by the World Health Organization as an addictive substance?
Dean? Gotta be alcohol.
No, but I'm sure it's somewhere on that list.
Bridget? Coca-Cola.
No, but I know people
who are addicted to that.
Need it on that list.
Well, Justin?
I'm just going to go with Kool-Aid.
Coffee, I bet.
Delicious answer. I'll give it to Bridget on that one. It was coffee. It's
tea?
Coffee. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Way to go, B.
All right.
Are we going another round, or are we done here?
We still have to give away our NDSU gear.
Yeah.
How about we do?
So,
you want to do that after the break?
Yeah, we'll do that after the break. Dean, congratulations. You're on like a winning streak here. This is like two or three wins in a row for you at Dumb Off Trivia.
It's lucky.
So apparently you have the biggest smart, or you've been
reading
the
questions.
The trivia cards.
We were not starting out strong with red and yellow, but he's really made up for it.
He's like, never again will I embarrass myself.
What colors mix to make green?
Red and orange. Oh.
What colors mix to make green?
Red and orange. Oh. See, I still say that was right.
Yeah, red and orange, red Color and orange. All right, well, Mike G., you're the winner. You'll be getting an email on what you're winning. Everyone else still in that chance to win the grand prize. And again, if you want to sign up for Dumb Off Trivia, you can head to the website, wdayradionow.com. All the way at the bottom, there's Weather and Ag and Focus Trivia, and you can sign up there. Well, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got some more giveaways and trivia to do, so stay tuned. Weather and Ag and Focus. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:53 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We have, courtesy of PetroSurf, some great NDSU merchandise, some nice swag to give away. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our first three callers. We're going to see who can answer the trivia question first. Not giving you the trivia question ahead of time, because we don't want you Googling it. That was Justin's smart idea for the day. Good idea, too, because we know how easy it is. You can Google it. 701-293-9000 will take the first three callers, but the first one that answers, each caller will get a different... No, we'll keep it the same trivia question, so whoever can answer it first. Hello, caller. Can I get your first name, please?
Eric,
all right. Welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus. All right, we're going to give you a question. Hopefully you can get this right. So, question for the wonderful NDSU swag. Which state is home to Glacier Bay and Kenya Fords National Park? That's kind of an easy one. Again, which state
is... I thought it was hard.
The first one gives it away, I thought. Which state is home to Glacier Bay and Kenya Fords National Park, Eric? Did we lose Eric?
I don't think he knew when he hung up.
He might have.
I don't know. Eric,
are you there?
Him, actually.
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh.
What's your answer?
Washington.
No. Thanks. So, Eric. Yeah, right. We will try. All right. Let's try caller number two here. All right, caller number two, can I get your name, please? Hello, caller number two, can I get your name?
Tyler.
Which state is home to Glacier Bay and Kenya Fords National Park?
Oh, gosh. I got nothing. I was
going to
say Washington, too.
Oh, man.
Throw out another state. Random one. Just throw one out. You got a 1 in 49 chance.
Alaska.
There. You got it.
Hey, look at that.
There you go. Good job. All right. Well, hang on. We didn't say how many guesses they get, but we'll be giving away more.
One.
Yeah, we'll be giving away more stuff tomorrow. So, Ken, let's put you on hold here, and our director Addison will get all your information, and then you could swing by our studios and pick up the NDSU swag.
Thank you.
All right. See that? Yeah, I thought it was easy only because I know where Glacier Bay is at.
Never heard of any of those.
Haven't you really? Okay. Well,
no.
Bridget, did you know those? Did you know that or not?
I had a little bit of an idea, but I'm not confident enough to shout that out.
Okay.
Kind of not being someone who vacations very often. I mean, by vacation, I'm at a farm show, you guys.
Yeah. You're vacationing in Iowa. It's okay, Bridget.
Yeah. You think like
we don't say that too loud, but it's okay.
Yeah, I need help for that.
Anyway, Bridget, why don't we hit one of our egg topics here? We got a couple from yesterday, but we'll save those for another day. Let's touch here on the light triggers genetics.
So this harkens back to a discussion we had last week about Interplant. Interplant is a company that has recently been able to start working with some major seed companies. They have found that they can insert genetic code through what's basically called CRISPR technology. They can do that with very specific gene splicing. And so when a plant doesn't feel good, it changes the light that it emanates from its leaves. So it's going to look like a slightly different color. We might not always see that, but what then changes is when we watch satellites from space, or if we have drones that are specific to be able to find it, we can tell when there's disease in the field. So you could actually have your plants light up the night, so to speak, and show you that they are ill and that they need help. So it's a neat technology. It's ready to come forward. They're talking about it right here at Farm Progress Show. So never know when something like that might work for your farm in the future.
Very cool. Very cool. Appreciate it, Bridget. We'll have to talk more about that another day. We only got about 40 seconds left. Dean, if we could please get a quick check on the forecast for the next couple days.
Yeah, we've got a few showers on radar continuing from Jamestown, between Jamestown and Valley City, moving northward. Also, some light showers just to the south of Fargo down towards Wahpeton. Currently, temperatures low 70s here in the FM area, but where it's raining out to our west, temperatures still hanging in the upper 50s. Also, some light rain in the far northern valley extending into northwest Minnesota. But we all clear out, turn windy and warmer tomorrow with highs in the low 80s. So that'll do it for today. For Bridget, for Justin and myself, I want to thank you for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.